Hear the word of God from Isaiah 9:6. For a child has been born for us, a son given to us. Authority rests upon his shoulders, and he is named Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. The first candle we light is a symbol of Christ, our hope. May the light sent from God shine in the darkness. The second candle is a symbol of Christ, the way. May the word sent from God show us the way. The third candle is a symbol of Christ, our joy. May the joyful promise of God's presence make us rejoice. The fourth candle is a symbol of the Prince of Peace. By God's Holy Spirit, may we know the peace Jesus brings. The center candle is the Christ candle. Rejoice. The light of the world has come.
I invite you to pray with me. Yes, prophet's vision, essence of God, come thou long expected Jesus. Holy child, come home. Prince of peace, speak your words. Peace, be still. O light, life, love, be aflame in our hearts this night. Make and mend your people. You are God with us, and worship with us this holy night. Amen.
We begin this evening in the Gospel of Luke, the first chapter. Praise be to the Lord, the God of Israel, because he has come and has redeemed his people. He has raised up a horn of salvation for us in the house of his servant David, as he said through his holy prophets long ago. Salvation from our enemies and from the hand of all who hate us, to show mercy to our fathers and to remember his holy covenant, the oath he swore to our father Abraham, to rescue us from the hand of our enemies and to enable us to serve him without fear in the holiness and righteousness before him all our days.
From the Gospel of Luke, the second chapter. In those days, a decree went out from Caesar Augustus that all of the world should be enrolled. This was the first enrollment when Quirinius was the governor of Syria. And all went to be enrolled, each to his own city. And Joseph also went up from Galilee, from the city of Nazareth to Judea, to the city of David, which is called Bethlehem, because he was of the house and the lineage of David. He was to be enrolled with Mary, his betrothed, who was with child. And while they were there, the time came for her to be delivered, and she gave birth to her firstborn son and wrapped him in swaddling clothes and laid him in a manger because there was no place for them in the inn.
And there were shepherds living out in the fields nearby, keeping watch over their flocks at night. An angel of the Lord appeared to them, and the glory of the Lord showed around them, and they were terrified. But the angel said to them, "Do not be afraid. I bring you good news of great joy that will be for all the people. Today, in the town of David, a Savior has been born to you. He is Christ the Lord. This will be a sign to you. You will find a baby wrapped in cloths and lying in a manger." Suddenly, a great company of the heavenly hosts appeared with the angel, praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace to men on whom his favor rests."
When the angels had left them and gone into heaven, the shepherds said to one another, "Let's go to Bethlehem and see this thing that has happened, which the Lord has told us about." So they hurried off and found Mary and Joseph and the baby who was lying in the manger. When they had seen him, they spread the word concerning what had been told them about this child. And all who heard it were amazed at what the shepherds said to them. But Mary treasured up all these things and pondered them in her heart. The shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all the things they had heard and seen, which were just as they had been told. I invite you to pray with me. Lord, we come this night for the light, for the carols, for silent night, We ask in this moment, Lord, that you would help us to pause, to consider the word of God, to consider God with us, to be in prayer and worship before you. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. So, yes, I know, it's the candlelight, it's Silent Night, but, well, you know, I'm a preacher, so I have to say a few things. We've heard again the story from the Gospel of Luke, some from the first chapter and then from the beginning of the second chapter. And what all of this is about is a perfect gift. Now, we've been preparing over the last 4 weeks here at the church for the perfect gift. We've worshiped. We've done some Bible study and prayer. We've decorated. And we've had meals. And we've had parties. And along the way, we've helped some people. We sent out gifts to foster children, the 100 foster children in this area in Livingston County who will receive gifts. We continued even up until yesterday offering dental care at the community dental clinic, which is housed in our building right across the parking lot here. And this morning, we had nearly 100 people give the gift of life blood at a blood drive that we hosted here at the church. We have been offering gifts. And I have to say we've been doing one more thing, and that is making cookies. We have made so many cookies. They have fallen out from the refrigerators and the freezers. They've fallen from the kitchen. They're everywhere. And so I just wanted to let you know there are cookies available to eat after this service. And what's more, we've had so many cookies, such a blessing, that we invited the first service and the second service, and now you, that there are some to-go cartons of cookies out there that if you feel that you could do this, take a carton and take it to someone who's working tonight. You could take it tonight, you could take it tomorrow if you're traveling somewhere, and just stop. For someone who's working for our safety, someone who's working to protect our health, someone who's working at a gas station, take them some cookies and wish them a Merry Christmas. It would be a good gift, a perfect gift, on a night, on a day that is Christmas. We've been preparing for the perfect gift. And I know that the gift of Jesus seems to be the improbable perfect gift because we have this idea of what the perfect gift is. We'll find it under the tree. We'll find it wrapped very nicely. We'll find it, if not wrapped, in a bag. You know those bags. I don't know anyone who buys them. They just kind of keep coming back and back. The bag. We'll find the perfect gift inside a tin or a box. It'll be the gift card we've been waiting for to add to our stack of plastic. We will find the thing that is perfect. And if not that, we will work hard to give the gift that is perfect. And maybe this year, we will do that. Perhaps it's already been a gift that's been given, or it's a gift that'll be given tomorrow or in the days to come. But we understand that the perfect gift, the ones we give, come from each other. Or at least, or they could come from the UPS guy. I saw that guy when I was driving here for worship. And I'm wondering who ordered stuff and made him work today. I don't know. But we have this idea, and I would say that the perfect gift of Jesus Christ is a little bit different. We know the story. 2,000 years ago, instead of wrapping in paper and bows and ribbon, what we've got is the child wrapped in cloth for comfort, laid in a feeding trough for animals in this stable, and we have the characters of Joseph and Mary and the angels and the shepherds on this night. This holy night. And we look at that as a perfect gift. And I'd like to talk about what makes Jesus so perfect. And I would suggest that there are different ways that we think of the word perfect. So one way is we might think of perfect as the perfect fit, a good fit, just right. And so you may get that sweater that is actually your size and is a color that you will actually wear, and it is the perfect gift. You may have a gift coming to someone that is a gift of a vacation, and it's just the right amount of rest and relaxation and sightseeing to make it the perfect break, the perfect vacation. You may have this idea of exactly what the perfect fit will be for someone, and you know that will be the perfect gift. But that's not the perfect gift of Jesus. Another idea that we have about perfect is without flaw. And so we might be waiting for that perfect Christmas. Maybe you've had it already. Maybe just this evening has just gone so nicely, and it just seems perfect. Or perhaps tomorrow or in the days ahead, you have that perfect meal planned, whatever your perfect meal is. So, you know, the turkey, the ham, the cheesy potatoes. My mother, I'm not exactly sure where she got the notion, but the perfect meal also has in it this green jello with the orange and the celery in it, and it has a little bit of vinegar in it. Oh, yeah. Then it's the perfect meal. You may just have one of those kind of salads or something that lingers on the side and no spoon ever cuts into it. But for some reason, people say that is part of the perfect meal. You may have this idea that you want the perfect gathering of relatives, and the things that should not be talked about will not be, right? Or that you know the person will not get in a snit, and it will be just fine. And you have this kind of idea of what that perfect gathering will be. And not only will memories be shared, but memories made. And it will be flawless. And while we can talk about the perfection of Christ, that's not even, that flawlessness isn't even what I'm talking about for Jesus. Another idea that we have is around perfect is in an ethical sense, that there is a right and a wrong, and to be right is to be perfect. And I know that you're not in this category, I just know it, but there are some people who believe they are the arbiters of ethical perfection, right? Okay, moral perfection. So they're the ones who are gonna kind of tell you, you may know someone like that, don't name them. But it's an idea that we have also that there is kind of this morally perfect way. Now, I will say that in the Christian faith, and especially in Methodism, we do talk about a perfect love, a whole love that we can head for with the Spirit of God in us that allows us to love perfectly in God. And so there is that perfection. But I want to tell you about a different kind of perfection, a different kind of perfect that this gift of Jesus is tonight. And I'm going to a Greek word. I'm going to the letter of Hebrews. In the letter of Hebrews, the writer says that Jesus, by his life, his death, and his resurrection, is the perfect gift. And the word perfect there, the Greek word, is teleios, T-E-L-I-O-S. Now, the reason I'm telling you that is because at some point today, tonight, tomorrow, you may have an opportunity to tell someone that they are a teleios gift. The word, at its root, means whole and perfect. It means complete and undivided. And Jesus, who comes to us as the perfect gift, comes wholly to us, first in complete and whole love. When the angels sang and the shepherds heard, they said, "Do not be afraid. I bring you good news of great joy that will be for all the people." This is a complete and full love. Now, you may come here tonight, and you may be coming out of duty. You got someone who's a member of this congregation, and all right, I'll come. And you get dragged here. You may be coming because there's something inside you saying, it is Christmas Eve after all, I should show up in a church. And you're here. But you may be coming with a little bit of doubt, too, about how this Jesus thing is in any way connected to your life, to your person, to your purpose ongoing in this life. And I would like to say that the gift that each of us receive in the birth of Jesus is to be wholly loved. It doesn't matter where we've been. It doesn't matter who we are in this moment, thank God. What matters is that we are holy and undividedly loved by God. There's another understanding of that whole and perfectness, and that is that God brings in Jesus perfect goodness, an unrestricted goodness, holy. Now, I know that the world is not all good. And perhaps for the last few days or in the days ahead, you will be news-free, staying away from the screens and the updates. You may not turn on the radio or the TV, and you may be able to stay away from that news for a little bit. But the truth is that again and again, we're reminded that this world and we as God's creation are broken. That there is evil, that there is struggle, that there is suffering in this world. And I would love to say that what Jesus does is come like some kind of shaker to just shake a little bit of goodness here and there and to have us feel good for a moment, but that's not perfect and whole goodness. What we understand from Scripture is that Jesus comes so that God's good purpose ultimately can be fulfilled. That we might live lives holy as we are created to be, that we might know freedom to live without fear and to live with purpose into the future, giving thanks to God and serving God, and that we might know hope. That no matter what we're up against personally, no matter what this world is up against, God's is prevailing in goodness and desires that for each of us absolutely holy. And let me just tell you one more thing. There's a place in the letter of 1 John where we hear about a perfect love, a whole and complete love of God. And this is what the writer says, is that perfect love casts out all fear. I really think that the reason that we're drawn on this night to join together with thousands and thousands of people around the world, because there's something in us that wants to know there's a possibility of a life without fear. No matter how good we've got it, we all got something. We got a relationship that we're worried about. There's something left undone at work that we're trying not to carry with us on this night. There's a burden that we hold unspoken between ourselves and a loved one. We're wondering about our purpose and whether the direction in our life is what we're made to be, or is it something else? Each of us have something, a grief, a sorrow, a regret, a resentment. And this is what this perfect gift is in God. That wherever those are, we can set them down. And know hope. And know peace. And know the comfort of God through Jesus. You have been giving gifts and receiving gifts in the days ahead. Perhaps tomorrow's the day when gifts will be exchanged, given and received. And my hope is that you do receive or give the perfect gift, something that fits, that's just right for the person who's receiving it. My hope is that in whatever your celebrations are, that they are perfect and without flaw. But my greatest hope is that in this night, each of us might go with teleos as a gift. Teleos, whole and perfect love, whole and perfect goodness that comes in the gift of Jesus, not for this night, but every day of our lives, living and walking with us, shaping us for good, giving us a life without fear, a life of freedom, and a life of hope. God's blessings, God's love. Amen. Mm-hmm.
ask that we take a moment of silence as we prepare our hearts and minds for prayer. Emmanuel, God with us, Prince of Peace, Mighty Counselor, Jesus the Christ, you come here, you come throughout the world to bring your perfect love. You call us to open our hands to receive your gift, to receive you, not just to put that gift on a shelf, not just to admire it, but to truly receive it, to unwrap it, to make it a part of who we are. Gracious God, that is a gift beyond our understanding. And yet, we gather this night to celebrate, to praise you, to offer what words we can for the love that you have poured into each and every one of our lives. We know that the world is a place of darkness sometimes, that there are souls that are fractured and fragmented. But Lord, we know that the light that you bring, the light that you have given to each and every one of us, that we can share that light in this world, that those in darkness might know you, that those who hunger and thirst might be satisfied, that those who mourn and weep might have their tears dried, because your love and your love alone, Lord, can do that for us. And so as we gather as your family, as your beloved, we join our voices with the angels. We do give you praise this night. Lord, hear each and every one of us. Hear the cries of our heart, whether they be cries of joy or cries of pain. Let your light reach into that. Let it warm us and drive out that fear, that we might go from this place renewed, strong, and courageous, because we know we hold the gift, the perfect gift. You promised, Lord, that if we prayed, you would hear. And when those first followers of Jesus asked how they should pray, he taught them this: Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen.
Let us go out singing. Let our hearts go out singing. Christ the Savior has come. Go in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Go in peace. Amen.